Well, how would you describe Tom Izzo's mood with his team slipping to 6-6 in the Big Ten standings?
I don't think it's bad. Some of this might just be the realization this team is what it is.
Right.
And, it's funny. There's two ways you can look at it. You can be the optimist, and he kind of brought this up and say, outside of the game at Purdue, really they've been in every game with a chance to win and doing so not playing that great. Of course, the cynic will say, yeah, but you're not winning any of these games because of the things you're not doing well, whether it's the offensive issues we've seen the last few games or whatever it happens to be. Right now he's choosing to look at it as this, with Malik Hall still kind of working his way back, that there's still room for this team to get better. And, A.J. Hogart hasn't played as well as he was earlier. Right. They're not shooting the ball as well as they have. So there's evidence to look back and say, hey, there's reasons to think this can get turned around. And I feel like that's kind of his approach right now, as opposed to the real frustration or anger or anything like that. And I don't think most coaches would probably do that publicly, even if they're thinking it to themselves. So, the other thing, too, is the schedule starts to at least get more manageable. Not that it's simple in this conference, but when you consider who they have down the stretch, there's no three-game weeks again, all those sorts of things. There is reason to think they can get this turned around and still have a decent finish over the next, eight games or wherever we're at this point.
Yeah, let's talk about the different extremes that you mentioned. What is what the best-case scenario might be? We've seen Michigan State on occasion look like a Sweet 16 team, certainly. Not as often as most people would like. But if Malik Hall comes back and finds his rhythm and the team gets some chemistry moving forward, is there any reason that this team couldn't make a little run in Big Ten tournament or the NCAA play?
Well, no, I don't think there is. But again, it's another thing Tom Izzo talked about. They really have to be playing well. I know that sounds simple, but the idea is you can't really have a few guys playing well and a couple guys not. They're not that sort of team where you can overcome several guys not playing well. And we've seen that recently, but you're right. There's evidence to believe that's there. They had Purdue beat. And, it's funny, Matt Painter mentioned that too, like his people criticizing Michigan State's defensive approach. Like, they're one shot away from that working the first game they played. And this is a team, Purdue's a team that just lost and is still number one in the country. So a lot of people think pretty highly of Purdue, and that's a team that Michigan State could have beaten. So, and we're in position to win. And it's not like they're counting on guys who've never done it before. We've seen Malik Hall be very good. You're not going to count on him to go 1-for-9 most games. And he grabbed 13 rebounds. There's a lot of things there to like, to believe that can happen. It's just doing it consistently, which really has been the biggest issue, especially the last couple of weeks, really.
Malik Hall was so good against Kentucky in Indianapolis before the injury. And then again against Rutgers in Breslin Center, he was really a major difference, coming off the bench playing limited minutes. But if you look at it the other way, Matt, there are no guarantees here. And in these last eight games, if things go south, is Michigan State's streak of tournament appearances in jeopardy?
Well, yeah, sure. If it goes really south, obviously it would be. But I mean, when you consider what they got four home games left, I think. The idea being, if you win all your home games, and I know there's still Indiana in that mix, but if you win your home games, think about what your road games are. It's Minnesota, Nebraska. Those are two games you can't have losses in those games. You have to win those. They're not great wins, but you avoid bad losses. You go to Michigan and go to Ohio State. Ohio State's a mess right now, we know. And they'll see them this weekend down there. And Michigan, it's a rivalry. Michigan's starting to figure a few things out. But there's a lot of winnable games in there. It's not like the schedule they've kind of just gone through. So, I mean, yeah, you got to get it done on the court. And otherwise, if you don't, yeah, you're going to be in big trouble. That bubble starts to get pretty dicey for them. But I think just when you look at the schedule and look at some of the things they have done this year, you have at least an optimistic feeling that you're going to get enough wins to safely be in. But, I mean, tomorrow night I think will tell us a lot because Maryland's won four in a row. But they beat Indiana, which is a good win clearly. But the other three games are, you know, the Wisconsin's, the Minnesota's of the world. So that's where their schedule's helping. But they're coming in with confidence. So this is a team it's not a simple win, even though it's at home. So I think we'll learn a lot tomorrow night of maybe where this last few weeks are headed.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is a very important game, much more important than most people would think. Again, we're talking about a 9 o'clock start tomorrow. But this is a much improved Maryland team and one that has a lot of experience. I know Tom was talking about fifth and sixth year players, and he's got some experience himself. This Michigan State team is pretty experienced. But Michigan State, Matt, is still the only Big Ten team that's played Purdue twice and has yet to play Minnesota. So the toughest team in the league, you've already dealt with home and away. A lot of teams, six of them in fact, don't ever have to do that. But also has not had a chance to play Minnesota yet, and a lot of teams have done that twice.
Right, and Michigan State only gets them once. I mean, it's kind of how it goes in an unbalanced schedule, right? I mean, sometimes you catch the breaks, sometimes you don't. So they get Minnesota one time, at least it's at home. And the Purdue thing, too, they played them twice within, what was it, a little over 2 weeks, roughly?
Right.
You squeeze an Indiana game in there in the middle of it all. Tom talks about a lot of who you play, when you play them, all that. It all matters. That's why I think it's so critical. The key is that this stretch hasn't beaten them down at all. You know, if that happens, then you got a problem. But getting Malik Hall back, the hope that he's kind of each game is a little more himself. I think we've seen evidence of that with Jaden Akins because now he looks, he's looking really like the guy we thought he might be at the start of the year. Perhaps Malik gets to that, and now you are in a schedule or part of the schedule that's a little more forgiving. And that's why I think you heard Tom say today, this is a team I think we can string together some wins. And if you do that, that flips the confidence completely. And now you go to a Big Ten tournament against teams that, again, as we've just said, you've played with all of them. You've had a chance or have beaten all of them. So you start to think, why not? Why can't they get on a run? So, again, a lot's going to be determined over the next couple of weeks. Tomorrow night will be a big one. I'm with you because Maryland has given Michigan State problems over the years because, you know, Dante Scott's been there for like 112 years, it feels like. And I'm sure he'll make some big plays tomorrow. But it's hard not to overemphasize how critical these – I mean, I feel like you got to get through this week with two wins. You never know. Ohio State's a talented team, but they're a mess. But you just want to get these wins and feel like you can kind of start getting stuff rolling in the right direction. So that's why I think this week's so big.
I think one of the factors here is Michigan State's forwards. We talk about Malik Hall and Joey Hauser, and very good rebounders. I think Hauser's been solid on the boards all year, and Malik Hall now comes back. You see what a difference that makes when they out-rebound Rutgers by 10. But they don't always shoot it. Sometimes they're streaky. They make them. But if one of those two is not shooting well, that puts a lot of pressure on Tyson Walker.
Yeah, a lot. You're right. And I think we certainly saw that Saturday. And the funny thing is Joey had been shooting so well most of the year in these last couple of games. Yeah. You know, and I forget which game, the one that might have been Indiana, he only took, or Purdue. You know, they blend together after a while here. But he's still getting good looks, and that's the thing you really kind of hang your hat on. And he hasn't. You know, he's not letting a game or two really affect. You know, he's still kind of attacking the basket when he can. So you have a feeling again, like, hey, he can refine that scoring touch. But you're right. If one of those guys isn't scoring as well, there is a lot on Tyson Walker and Malik. I really do think it will come back. He doesn't look as willing right now to shoot a three as maybe he used to before this. Which you know, and his kind of fall away jumpers on the baseline aren't. They don't feel or seem quite as confident as they have. But, I mean, the guy missed a lot of games between the two times out. What was it? Six and or so, nine games he missed for a pretty good stretch there and didn't practice much. So I just got a feeling those, if not both of those guys, certainly one of them will come around. I think Joey's just in a better mindset this year where you could see him come out tomorrow night and hit four threes. So, but you're right. I don't think they can get through. They can't have success if you're just relying on Tyson Walker. You need him and one of those other guys really to be scoring to feel like this thing. And you need the turnovers to come down. You need AJ to be a little better decision-making. But again, Rutgers is, I mean, they're not the number two defensive team in the country for nothing. I mean, that little press that doesn't do much other than slow things down. You can't run as much with that kind of stuff. They make the picks and the handoffs tough. They're tough to play. So, again, that's where maybe the schedule helps a little bit. You can get some rhythm and some confidence in this offense over these next few games.
We're talking with Matt Charbonneau, covers Spartan football and basketball for the Detroit News. Matt, who's Michigan State's most valuable player?
Oh, that's a good one. I still think it's A.J. Hogarth. Because to me, this team goes as he goes. Mm-hmm. I just think we've seen so much of that this year. I mean, when he's at his best and playing confidently and seeing the floor well,
right.
This offense is very, very good. And on top of that, when he's playing like that, he's a better defender as well. He's just more engaged, all those sorts of things. When he's not in there, it feels really tough for that offense to get moving. They haven't really played Tyson a lot at the point at all. Recently, it's been anytime AJ's out, it's been Trey Holloman. And he's had some freshman struggles here recently where these big moments, I think, have gotten to him.
Yeah.
So to me, it's complete. I mean, because defensively they've been okay. They've been okay to good, really, through a lot of stretches this year, and they're rebounding even better the last handful of games. I just think
really good against Saturday. You held Rutgers to 61 points.
Yeah, right. And it's not to just say, oh, it's AJ's fault that all this is happening. I mean, he probably has four or five more assists the other day if somebody makes an open shot. But still, it's. That confidence and that flow you've seen from him earlier in the year has kind of been missing the last few games. I don't know if some of those missed free throws got to him a little bit. When you think about the Purdue game and the Indiana game with the missed free throws. But, you know, it's he is, I mean, it's the Tom Izzo cliche, you know, he's the quarterback. Right. He's the straw that stirs the drink. And if he's not at his best, this team's offense really struggles. And it's imperative, really, they get him back to that point. And that's what Tom talked about a lot today. So, to me, he's the most important player.
Yeah, and it's interesting you phrase it that way because someone asked me the same question about MVP, and I said, well, based on performance, maybe it was Joey Hauser, maybe it was Tyson Walker, but the most important player, as opposed to the most valuable player, was A.J. Hogarth. And I said, I call him the MIP. And the other guy says to me, you mean most important player or most inconsistent player?
Well,
and I guess you can look at it that way because there are games, and I don't see this very often with players, Matt, but he can have wild swings within 40 minutes where he looks like an All-American, and then he looks like he wouldn't be a Big Ten starter.
Yeah. And that's probably the most frustrating thing out of any of it. And it, you know, that's the tough thing about being a point guard at this level too. And I think, you know, we think back, we're always comparing him to guys like Cassius Winston, you know, or Denzel before that. You know, Denzel wasn't exactly playing point guard as a sophomore, and those sort of things. But
right.
You know, we're used to seeing guys like that have such a they're able to control things so well and master things so well and. You see it from him at times, and you're like, okay, this is the guy we're talking about. And then it kind of disappears. It's, you know, it's hard. But and another thing Tom said today that was interesting, he said sometimes this happens when other guys on the team aren't carrying their weight either. You see AJ try and start to do a little bit more, right? Yeah. And that's where he tends to get in trouble as well, too. Guys aren't making shots. Well, maybe I need to create on my own, and he makes a decision he shouldn't or – a pass he shouldn't, you know, those sort of things. So I think it's fair to say this is a team thing. But so much of it relies on him making the right decisions for this offense. But it's, you know, it's most important, most valuable. I don't know. Come up with whatever name you want. The bottom line is these guys need everybody at this point. I just don't think you can make much of a run without all these guys playing a little bit better. But AJ still, to me, is the most important. If he's not, it makes it harder for everybody else to play better.
The other thing that's quizzical here, Matt, is free throw shooting. This had been a pretty good free throw shooting team for most of the year, not getting to the line as much as Tom Izzo or anyone else wanted. But now they've had a couple of games where they're shooting well, and they get to the end of the game, and they miss the front end of one-and-ones. Did that with back-to-back trips Saturday, and that was critical.
Yeah. Well, especially Hauser's. I mean, because he is such a good free throw shooter. It's a one-point game. It should have been a three-point game if he makes both. And then they go down the other end, and McConnell hits a three. You know, he's not exactly a lights-out three-point shooter. So you go from what should have been a three-point lead to a two-point deficit. And now that place is on fire, and it's going nuts. And those sorts of things, those momentum swings are big. Look, Mahdi missed the front end, too, as well. But, you know, that's a little bit more understandable for Mahdi. He hasn't been awful at free throw shooting, but he's certainly not their best. They're huge. I mean, we already talked about it with AJ. He's done it as well. It is kind of odd for a team that for most of a game will shoot really well from the line. I mean, I don't know. These are veteran guys who've been in big games and have played well in big games. It's hard to really pinpoint why exactly that has happened, but that was a massive swing in that game. In a game where it was in the 40s at that point late in the game, so every point is critical. A three-point lead feels like a pretty big lead in that game, and to turn around and be down two, that's tough to overcome.
Well, and I think Tom mentioned today a couple of times the word confidence, and you know he was talking about social media and how that enters into it. He never misses a chance to talk about that, but in terms of the confidence of these guys, there are points where they want the ball. It looks like they know where it's going, and there are points where they almost run away from it. I don't want to say they're scared, but they get so many attempts at the end of the shot clock. It makes it very difficult.
Yeah, and to me it all goes back to the offense, but you're right. I mean, I wrote about this the other day. Like, they've had so many games. You go back to Wisconsin, it's probably the last time it feels like they had a game to close and they closed it, right? All these other games, they've been in position late in the game to win, make some winning plays, and they're not getting it done. I even think that the Iowa win, that wasn't so much about what they did. I mean, they missed free throws there. And that's where AJ missed the front end there and allowed Iowa that chance to have the three, a wide-open three, that would have won the game. That was as much Iowa not getting it done as it was Michigan State. So it feels like, that goes back to the whole optimistic view of you're in position to win all these games, but you're not getting it done. And is that, you know, what is that? I mean, it's not that these guys aren't good enough. Maybe that is. There's nobody on this team that has that, you know, that attitude late in the game about give me the ball. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I mean, we've seen Tyson Walker be that guy before. I just wonder if it's still just this uncertainty with everybody with the way the lineup's been shuffling of who is that guy. Maybe everyone's deferring, thinking it should be this guy, it should be that guy. But the bottom line is, with games on the line, in position to win, they have for the last few weeks consistently not gotten it done. And it's not one guy every time, but they haven't shown that ability to close games the last few weeks. And I think that's a concern. You got to hope that changes as Malik's back a little more consistently here, but that would be my biggest worry, that confidence then starts to waver. They get in another close game late. Are they sitting there thinking, well, what's going to go wrong this time? Are we going to miss a free throw, turn the ball over? What is it? So you got to wonder if those things start creeping in for them.
All right, last thing, Matt. Can you give me predictions? I don't need the scores, but what happens to Michigan State this week against surging Maryland tomorrow night at home? And against kind of fumbling Ohio State on the road this weekend.
Ohio State's won one time in 10 games. That is remarkable to me. I mean,
they want to fire Chris Holtman.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
They got crazy.
They got better players. They should be better. There were some close losses, but whatever. I think they have to go 2-0. I mean, I think they're certainly good enough. Strangely, I think the biggest game is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I mean, the way Maryland's been playing, the confidence they've got. You're always concerned about Ohio State. At some point, Ohio State's got to win, right? At some point, you're thinking they turn it around and the shots start going in. Would that be Sunday? I mean, sometimes Michigan State fans feel like it always happens to them. But I just, the way they're playing, Michigan State, I think, has to win that game. So my gut feeling is you will see things get a little better. I think they'll get it done tomorrow night, and that'll put them in a good spot on Sunday. So I'll go ahead and predict 2-0. I think they win both of them. Because I think they understand how cool. Yeah.
Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. Matt, thanks so much. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night.
See you, Jack.